This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here is Hill. He gets the first down, and on he goes. Inside the 10, end zone, touchdown, Justice Hill.
Ravens run through the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Bye-mageddon comes to a close. Now we're into week 13 in the NFL. Thanksgiving week, there are no byes.
And then Denver next week and probably somebody else.
Yeah, there are a bunch of byes on the backside.
Okay.
But Thanksgiving week, everybody plays.
Okay. Good, because it's double elimination week in guillotine, so.
Yeah, that's
better
right.
Better have everybody.
That's a rule we've got in our league. No byes.
Was that done on purpose? Pick a week with no byes?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Smart.
It was done because we had people that wanted to join the guillotine league, and you can have as many as you really want.
Yeah.
So, fine. We'll add another. We'll have a double elimination Thanksgiving.
All right.
Good luck, everyone. I would recommend everybody get a guillotine league going. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. All right, we'll keep the music running. Jer and Joe's knowledge emporium of NFL games and such. Things you need to know from the week of games that you didn't need to know you need to know. It's a long tagline, but we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll start.
Okay.
Broncos Raiders.
I think that's the game I saw the least of this Sunday.
I saw a good chunk of it. Cortland Sutton was almost traded. He wasn't. Turns out he's still great.
Yeah.
And doing great things with Bo Nix. A stat on the Broncos and the Raiders here, the Broncos especially. PFF puts the Broncos pressure rate, like how often Bo Nix gets pressured.
Yeah.
They are best in the league at keeping him unpressured.
Okay.
That's a bounce back from last year where they were worst in the league.
Yeah.
The Broncos went from worst to first in allowing pressure.
Yeah.
How many offensive linemen moves did they make in the offseason? Zero.
Oh. It's a quarterback stat?
It's a quarterback stat.
Yeah. Ball's coming out?
The Russ effect. The ball. Sure. Maybe it's the play's designed to get it out quicker.
Yeah.
The coach is doing the job. But the Broncos did not overhaul their offensive line. Mm-hmm. Their worst to first in pressure rate allowed is a function of their offense. And Russell Wilson, I mean, it's one of the reasons I think the Steelers are in trouble. The guy takes sacks and invites pressure. Even though they're having a good year, I just think against a good team, that's going to get them.
Okay. Chiefs and Panthers. I'm going to stick with the pressure theme, and then I got another one for this game. So, Mahomes, we mentioned yesterday, Mahomes took 5 sacks in this game against the Panthers. He was only pressured 8 times. He has been taking more sacks on pressures than ever. But that is the highest sack percentage on pressures of any quarterback in a game this season, Mahomes. He took 5 on 8. The other stat from that game, Carolina, there are so many outcomes where they really actually should have won this game. They got to the red zone all the time. Carolina, only the third team since Andy Reid became the Chiefs coach to score on 75% of their drives against the Chiefs. They scored on 75% of their drives, only the third team that's done that to an Andy Reid Chiefs team, and they lost. They kept getting to the 10, and then they couldn't get it in, and they had to kick field goals.
If Carolina's offense can move up and down the field on the Chiefs, then all the conversation about the Chiefs' defense from last year to this year, like, it's not the same defense.
I think what I noticed in that game, I watched way more than that game than I thought I would, is this was happening with Thielen a lot. They were going after a couple of the Chiefs' corners. The Bills went after... Who's the Jalen Watson replacement guy? There's a replacement corner that the Bills targeted like 12 times last week. And the Panthers were going after him, and they were going after somebody else.
It's Nazi Johnson?
Nazi Johnson, yes. Like, their teams maybe are realizing that's a dude we could pick on.
Yeah.
And the Panthers were going to Thielen a few times in that situation.
It's funny. I searched his name because I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Yeah.
And he has been targeted quite a bit. The headline of this is, Nazi Johnson's not the scapegoat for Chiefs' defensive problems some are making him out to be. Which probably means he is...
He's probably doing a pretty bad job.
It's not going well. But the Chiefs have their defensive problems. Okay. Next up, Vikings-Bears. Matthew Collar had this stat on the Vikings, who in point differential. Minnesota's near the top. It's like they got off to a really good start this year. They were one of the last unbeatens, right?
Yeah.
And then they've just been, you know, hanging out. They're near the top of the league in point differential. And Matthew points out that since 2022, when they have their starting quarterback in, a starter. I guess this would include Darnold, too. But start the season with a starter, and that guy plays. They are 26-10 in their last 36 games. That's a team that lost Cousins and went to Josh Dobbs. And, you know, they've had injuries all over the place. But 26-10 with their starting quarterback since 2022. The Vikings are good. I think it's a testament to Kevin O'Connell being pretty good.
Yeah. Let's go to Washington-Dallas. That was the circus game, end of the witching hour, back and forth. There were 31 points scored in the final 3.5 minutes of that game. That is the second most in a game in the Super Bowl era. The only game that outbeat it was a game that I knew nothing about, had never seen in my life. Minnesota-Baltimore in 2013 scored 36 points in the final 3.5 minutes. I looked up the highlights of that game, and this goes to something we were just talking about earlier in the hour. That game was in the snow.
No.
It's a forgotten Minnesota-Baltimore game, 2013, in the snow, 36 points in the final 3.5 minutes. Washington-Dallas had 31.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Next up, Lions-Colts. The Lions have their second consecutive 10-win season right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time they've done that in franchise history. They've never won 10 games in back-to-back seasons.
That makes sense.
Which is not that shocking when you hear it, right?
Yeah.
Because the Lions have been a franchise with not a lot of success. But first time in franchise history to have back-to-back 10-win seasons.
Yeah, that's pretty... I saw something yesterday that they've never had this season, maybe 10-1, since 1930, like since the Great Depression. Basically, the Lions have not had this team. Next up, Arizona-Seattle. That game, you might have been wondering, how does Arizona only have 6 points? This goes back to pressure. Seattle might have the best pass rush in the league. Like, they've got some numbers that are super impressive. And in this game, Kyler Murray was pressured on 43% of his dropbacks. And Leonard Williams of the Seahawks, he had the highest pressure rate of any player in a game since 2018. He had 9 pressures on 32 pass rushes, 2.5 sacks. They could not block Leonard Williams. Murray was running for his life the whole game. Murray, when he was pressured, by the way, 4 of 13, 81 yards and a pick 6. That's how they beat. If you're wondering how the Cardinals only scored 6, that's how.
Yeah. That offense can't afford to get in third and long. Arizona's third and long offense is the worst in football. On third and 7 or more, the Cardinals' success rate, Kyler's success rate is 10%. He is 12 of 30 for 58 yards. 3rd and 7 attempts or more. 12 of 30, 58 yards. The worst quarterback in football on third and long. Okay, next up. I've got Bucks-Giants. This is actually a good story that's not really much about that game. Baker Mayfield. He and his wife donated about $18,000 to a high school football team in Texas that last year went 1-8.
Yeah.
And they were in danger of losing the program because they didn't have money. So Baker bought the JV and the varsity. They bought him equipment. And they won the state title.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
They went from 1-8 to 10-3.
Yeah.
Baker said something to the effect of, like, all we did was get some helmets. They did the rest. But nice story. Like, he found out a high school football team was going to lose its program, paid for all their gear. And he was asked about it in the media this week about how the team would watch Baker games to, like, all get together. Like, that's our guy now, right? That's our sponsor.
Yeah.
And good for him and good for them.
Yeah, very cool. The Eagles have, since week 6, outgained their opponents by 1,300 yards. No other team in the league has outgained their opponents by 700. They are ragdolling teams recently.
Yes, they are. And I saw yesterday maybe Ben Baldwin pointing out that all the chatter about Saquon, the Eagles' defense versus the Eagles' offense, that the Eagles' offense this year is about the same as it was last year.
Right.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's their defense that has gone from bottom of the barrel to top 10.
And yeah, I saw that 32nd to 7th, I think.
Yeah, that's why they're ragdolling teams, is because their offense is about the same and their defense is a lot better.
That's part of the point. They've allowed since week 6, they've allowed the fewest yards in the league by 200. They've allowed 1,558 yards. The next best is Kansas City at 1,782. And Kansas City, actually, this is even more impressive. All the teams in front of them, this is just in total yards, have played one fewer game than they have. So they have, per game, it would be even more impressive. The Eagles have allowed 1,500 yards in 7 games. All the teams right behind them, the Chiefs, 1,700 yards allowed in 6 games. The Packers, 1,800 yards allowed in 6 games. So yeah, their defense has been unbelievable, especially the last month. Could be part of who they're playing, too.
Patriots, Dolphins, Gerard Mayo. Mm-hmm. He has multiple times kind of stepped in it with what he says.
Yeah.
And this week, in postgame, he said, there's nothing I can do for them once they cross the white line. Talking about his players. It's not my fault, I can't play for them routine as a head coach. Like, I feel like our execution's the problem. No, I need to coach better, none of that. Once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of things coaches said, you see what Mike McDaniel said? Was it before the game or was it after? Might have been right after the game. Because he was asked about Calais Campbell's game, and he said that he threw an adult temper tantrum to keep the Dolphins from trading Campbell at the deadline.
Smart.
Yeah. And now they're still in it, so
they
are. Looks pretty good on him. Houston, Tennessee. How did the Texans lose to Will Levis, who had thrown a pick six and taken 8 sacks in a football game? The answer might be that C.J. Stroud is playing like the worst football of any quarterback in the league. He, right now, since week 7, has a lower passer rating than Mason Rudolph, Daniel Jones, Gardner Minshew, Cooper Rush, Bryce Young, Drake May, Jameis Winston, and every other quarterback in the league except for one. Think you name the one quarterback that has a lower passer rating than C.J. Stroud?
Daniel Jones?
He's above him.
Wow.
Anthony Richardson.
Wow.
That's it. If you look at adjusted net yards per attempt, this is the yards per attempt that includes sacks and interceptions, he is at 4.6. That is 28th out of 30. Only Minshew and Jones would be below him on that. He's playing like one of the worst quarterbacks in football. But statistically, he's playing like one of the worst quarterbacks in football for over a month now.
Wow. Well, he had missed Nico Collins for a little bit of time there.
Yeah.
And I think he definitely misses Diggs. Like, if you want to do success rate, when they throw the ball to Diggs, it's 73% catch rate.
Yeah.
Averaging 10 yards a catch. Like,
right.
And they miss that. The easy button throw. Boy, the Texans fell apart fast.
They are falling apart fast, but like the thing is, there's nobody there to take advantage, right? Like the maybe the Colts. We knew the Colts were gonna probably lose to Detroit, right? And that happened. Now here come the Colts. They play the Patriots, the Broncos, the Titans, the Giants, and the Jaguars to close. That is 4 bad teams they play.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of odds can I get on? I mean, look. What kind of odds can I give right now at Houston to miss the playoffs? Just collapse. And then Indy to take the division because Indy doesn't play anybody.
Listen, it is something that division does, right? Hold on, think about it. Last year, Jacksonville. 2-3 years ago, Indy with Carson Wentz.
There was a year where Josh Dobbs played for the Titans to win the division in week 18, and both teams were like 8-8 or something. Yeah.
All right. That's the Jaron Joe Knowledge Emporium. What you needed to know from the games that you didn't know you needed to know. Seth Appert, Sabres assistant coach, joins us coming up top of the hour. We'll check in on the Sabres, who have a win streak. We'll see what's up with Tage Thompson. And, you know, after we talk to Seth, Joe and I could maybe talk about, you know, like scoreboard watching. You scoreboard watched last night.
Oh, it did not go well.
It did not go well. Tampa scored 8. So if you were watching Tampa on the scoreboard, they were active. 803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.